Año, do you know what I just said? I may not have said it just right, but that's the best I can do. I practiced and practiced that for 2 months. And you have to bow just right when you say it. It's Año, hacio. Well, a few years back, I was working at Blue Mountain Academy in Pennsylvania, and there were 16 Korean teenage boys that came over here from Korea to get an education here in the United States. And they had studied English, but they couldn't speak English very well. It was very difficult to understand them. And their culture there was very different from here. So the school asked me if I would take on another job and be their American mom and help them learn the American culture. Well, I figured with having six kids, what would 16 more be? It wouldn't be anything, would it? So I said, of course I'll do that. And so we had a wonderful time with the boys. On the weekends, they would come to our house. And on holiday breaks, they would come to our house, and we just had a big party all the time. There was one young man. He was the oldest of all of them. His name was Han. Han was a very special young man. In the Korean culture, the oldest of the young people is in charge of the other ones. Well, most of all, even though they're not in the same family, well, the younger ones all listened to whatever Han said. They did, except one. And he didn't like the idea that Han was in charge because he was just a few days younger, and he didn't think that was right. So sometimes they would get into some squabbles, but they were always settled by Han because he was in charge. Well, graduation time came, and Han was graduating. There were two boys that graduated. One was Han, and one was Jae Sung. Han had registered to go to Andrews University. How many of you know where Andrews is? Have you heard of that? No? In Michigan, yes. The other one registered to go to Southern, and that's in Tennessee. Well, Han came to me and said, Mom, could I come and live with you during the summer? All of the other boys are going home, but I'm not going to be able to, and I have no place to stay. Could I stay with you during the summer till school starts? I said, oh, of course you can stay. So now we had seven during the summer. So we had Han all summer, and he was really good, but he took his role serious about being the oldest. He was still the oldest in our family, and he was in charge of all of the other six, and they weren't all that happy. Because he thought that Ryan had to get up early in the morning and go outside to do his exercises and deep breathing. And Ryan didn't appreciate that because he worked on the dairy farm and he was really tired when he came in late at night. But Han insisted, so Ryan got up and went outside on the front lawn and did his stretches and his deep breathing and his kicks and so forth with Han. And Natalie and Francie didn't like it at all because he made them do all of the vacuuming and cleaning before I got home from work for lunch. Oh, but they listened to him. Well, one day I came home for lunch from work, and I opened up the garage door and I smelled something that smelled horrible. I thought, what in the world is that smell? And as I walked through the garage and opened the door that went into the house, oh, it was the most horrible smell I'd ever smelled. Have any of you ever smelled a skunk? Well, this was worse than a skunk. What in the world is going on? And Han was over at the stove cooking. I go, what are you doing? And he says, I'm cooking squid. And I looked over, and not only was he cooking squid, he wasn't even using a pot or a skillet. He was cooking it right on the top of the burner, the electric burner. Oh no, there was squid stuck all over the burners. I said, Han, you cannot cook squid in my house. You have to get that out of here. So all of the kids ran around and opened all the windows and turned fans on to get this horrible smell out of the house. Oh, Well, a few days later, I started feeling terrible. I got really, really sick. I'm not sure if it was from the food smell or not, but I was really sick. You were sick too? Oh, you were sick too? That was really bad, wasn't it? Well, I had come home from work and was not feeling well at all, so I went right to bed. So I was in bed, and Han came up. He was very, very worried, and he was very respectful to me. And he knocks on the bedroom door. Mom? Oh, yes, Han. He says, can I come in? Sure, Han, come on in. He comes in, and he's standing, and he's looking over me, and he says, how sick are you? I said, I'm really sick. I'm not going to get up and fix dinner tonight. That's okay. I'll be back in a minute. Down he went down the stairs. I heard his foot. He walked very heavy. You could hear him going everywhere in the house. Pretty soon, I heard the footsteps coming up the stairs. He knocks on the door. Mom? Yes? Can I come in? Yes. Here comes Han. He has a little bottle with a lid on it. He says, this is medicine for you to take. Very good medicine. Make you well. I said, oh, Han, I don't think I want to take it right now. I think I'll be okay. I just need to rest. No, this is very good. My mom sent it to me. I never sick. I take it. It good. I go, well, I don't think I want to. Yes, we have to take it. I said, well, let me look at it first. So he opened it up, and when he opened it, I started smelling something. It was a really bad smell. And when he opened it and showed it to me, I thought, there's no way I'm going to take that. It was brown and round and soft, and it looked like pellets. And I thought, there is no way I'm taking that, and it smelled awful. He says, yes, you take three of them. And I said, no, I think I'm going to be okay in a little while. Let's wait a little while. He said, all right, we wait 2 hours. I come back and check on you. Okay. So he put them back in there and closed it, and he left and shut the door, and I thought, oh, that's just the most horrible smell, and the look of them was even worse. So sure enough, 2 hours, knock on the door. Mom, can I come in? Sure, Han, come on in. How are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling a little better. Well, this time he had the medicine, and he had a glass of water. Mom, I want you to take this. Guarantee it will get you well. Oh, I said, okay, I'll take them. So he gave me three and gave me the water. I put them in my mouth and swallowed them real quick. Oh, that smell was just terrible. Oh, it was just awful. I was shaking all over. So he left. Well, a couple hours later, he came, knocked on the door. Mom, can I come in? Okay, Han, come in. How are you feeling? I said, not very good at all, Han. I think that medicine made it worse. Oh, no, he said, something very wrong with you. Acupuncture. Only solution. Acupuncture. I'll be right back. Oh, no. Acupuncture. So there he went down the stairs. I thought, oh, no. And here he comes. Back up the stairs. Knock on the door. Mom? Yes, Han? Can I come in? Okay. He opens up a little thing. Acupuncture. Only solution. I go, no, 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 not acupuncture. Yes, only solution. Can make you well, for sure. If pills don't make you well, acupuncture will do it. I go, well, can we wait till tomorrow and see? Maybe the pills will work. It's just taking a little longer. So he closes it up. Okay, we wait till morning, but if you're not well, acupuncture. Only solution. Next morning, I got up. I got dressed and went to work before Han even got up. Was not going to be any acupuncture for me. Han went to Andrews and graduated, and he went and got his master's degree before he went back to Korea. Han made a promise to me. He said, when I get married, I am going to fly you to Korea to attend my wedding. Well, do you know, for the past 12 years, Han has been calling me and coming to visit whenever he flies over here on business. He makes sure that he comes through whatever state or city that I'm living in, and I go and pick him up, and he comes and stays at my house. And then he'll fly on from there to wherever his business meeting is. Well, about 2 years ago, Han called me on the phone. But you know when Han calls? You know what time of day he calls? It's usually 2 or 3 in the morning. Well, when the phone rings, I jump out of bed because I think, oh no, something terrible must have happened. And I answer the phone, hello? Mom, it's Han. Oh, Han, how are you? He says, what time is it there, Mom? Oh, it's 3 in the morning. Oh, I'm sorry. And then he just continues to talk. Anyway, 2 years ago, we went to Korea. Pastor and I went to Korea for his wedding, and we had a wonderful time. You know, the different cultures in the different countries are very interesting. And you know, there were different cultures in the Bible that affected people. And Pastor Bob's going to tell us a little bit about different cultures that affected people in the Bible that were not good. And so we need to be careful when we accept other things, cultural things. There are good things and bad things in everyone's culture. And so we need to make sure that whatever culture we're in, that we the things we do are in harmony with what God has, the instructions that God has given us to follow. Oh, wait, I got to show you something. I forgot. This is just too much fun. This seaweed, this is another one. This is another food that Han loved, and he kept bringing it home, and he would make it, and he'd make rice, and he'd wrap it in this stuff, and he'd make me eat it. Now, all of the kids thought it was great, and Pastor Bob thought it was great, too. And when we go out to eat, they wrap rice in it, and then you eat it. And when we went out to eat, they always had rice and seaweed. And so they said, do you like it? I go, no, but Pastor Bob loves it. So Pastor Bob would eat a little bit of it. Well, they were so excited that Pastor Bob liked seaweed, they went and bought him a great big huge box with seaweed that would last him forever. And this is one of the packages. There must have been 15 of these in a box. So it's seaweed. Yum. Want one? Want some?
Judy has our special music. Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you. Our scripture reading is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Well, I guess you heard about some of our cultural experiences. Some of you have been to cultural experiences recently, been to India, and where did you go, Brian? Honduras. When we went to Korea, they're very respectful in the Oriental cultures, which is a good thing. And some of us have, in this country, we tend to lose that respect for the elders and for those in authority and so on. But in Korea, it was, we had a good visit there. And it was interesting as we walked through some of the shopping centers and we went to an international trade center. And we walked through there, and in the streets of Korea, you didn't see hardly any young people like you see on the streets in America that looked like a hardware store with an orange mohawk. You know, it wasn't there, except occasionally. Once in a while, you'd see one, but it just wasn't. It wasn't there like it is in this country. But one of the experiences that we had, we went to the wedding, and it was in the Presbyterian Church. So it was a Western-style wedding. And then they had the reception. It was Western-style. They did have the Korean foods, but the style was more or less Western. And then they took us into a little room. It was probably maybe a third of the size of the church here, where they had their traditional Korean wedding. And it was just family and close friends, and we got to go in there and participate to be a part of this Korean family wedding. And what they did was they had a table low to the ground, and they sat on the floor. And the couple sat in front of the table, facing the other across the table. And the parents, the groom's parents, came and sat on the floor in front of them, and gave their blessing and their admonitions and counsel and so on to this young couple. And then they would give a toast. And then the bride's parents would come and give their blessing and so on. Well, it went to the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, and it began to look like we probably were going to be involved. And Cecilia starts saying, no, we can't do that. And I said, I think we need to honor them. In their culture, they've honored us by inviting us. We need to participate. And so, she did get the message across to the family that there wouldn't be a toast. So, we didn't have the wine. But we did go up front, knelt down in front of the table, or sat on the floor in front of the table before this young couple, and gave them a blessing and some counsel, and participated in this wedding. Other than Cecilia and I, Everybody else was dressed in the traditional Korean garb. And it was interesting, at the other wedding, or at the regular wedding in the church, they had Western style clothes and Western style music and so on. But in this little traditional family wedding, they had their costumes and all of the traditional Korean wedding experience. It's interesting to me to go to other places and experience the culture and the foods and so on. Of course, we have to limit the food. And the family had some difficulty with us because we didn't eat any meat. And so when they would take us out to eat, it was basically the same meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They would give us seaweed and rice and kimchi and tofu and so on. And I would sample some of all of it because I knew that it was vegetarian, so I could sample anything that they had there. But in every culture, there is both good and bad. The Holy Spirit works on everyone. The Bible tells us that there's a measure of faith given to every man. And the influence of the Holy Spirit is felt around the world. And so in every culture, there is good. Some cultures may be a little more difficult to find some good, where there's direct demonic worship. I know when our missionaries went to Africa and they wore very little except hardware and paint, and they worshiped the demons and lived in filth, and so the missionaries, when they would go there and they would lead them to Jesus and they would clean up their houses and clean up their bodies, but you know, it's interesting that the culture, the heathen culture, is now reversing, and we're now having the heathen culture becoming more and more predominant in our country, where they take off the clothes and put on more paint and more hardware. Christianity is being taken over by another culture. When my boys were young, I went with them on a mission trip to Mexico. And there were things about their culture, and I enjoyed some of their food. I enjoyed the beans and rice and tortillas and so on. But after having beans and rice and tortillas three meals a day for 10 days, it was nice to come back and have something else to eat. But I do still like beans and rice and tortillas. But there were things about the culture in Mexico that was better than the culture that is taking over in our country. And there were certain aspects that weren't. Turn with me to John chapter 12. And we see part of the reason for this, John chapter 12 and verse 30 and 31. Jesus says, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out." This world has a prince. This world has a God. Who is the God of this world? And Satan pervades every culture, because humanity is fallen. Our nature is sinful and fallen. And unless we are reborn by the power of God, we will follow the fallen culture in which we live. I don't remember very much from English class in high school. I remember one time there was a fire in the Palisades just towards Calistoga from PUC, and the wind was blowing the fire towards PUC, and so the sirens were going off frequently, and they were needing more volunteers, and so they let us go from school out to fight fire. And so one afternoon I went out and fought fire all afternoon, or all night. Basically, the job that I was given was carrying the water packs for the firefighters. So I'd carry the empty one back to the water source and fill it up, and it was about a 60-pound pack, and then I would haul it back to the line where the firemen were fighting the fire on the line. And some of the pine trees that were 100 feet tall, they just go up like a torch. And it was an amazing experience to see. Well, I got home about just in time to take a shower and go to school. Well, that afternoon, right after lunch, the teacher gave us three essays that we were supposed to grade. And I started reading the first one, and I heard it hit the floor. And I picked it up, tried again, and it hit the floor again. And so finally, she said, okay, it's time to have all the grades on them. And so I just took them and put A on one, B on one, and C on one. I got them backwards. But anyway. One thing I remember, though, from T.S. Eliot, the world is too much with us. I can't tell you anything else about his poem, but I remember that much. The world is too much with us. Let's go to Genesis chapter 16, and we'll see one of the experiences of God's faithful people with whom the world was too much with him. In Genesis 16, was the Bible affected by culture? Genesis 16, we'll begin with verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar, so she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarai had said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Was Abraham affected by his culture? Why would he do this? In the beginning, how many wives did God give Adam? One. Now we can say all kinds of things about that, and there's all kinds of jokes about that. But God gave Adam only one wife. He didn't give him another male as a wife. He gave him only one wife. And when we go to the original and see what God did, that's when we know what God has in mind. It talks about the marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will what? Become one flesh. How many? Some translations say they twain. Will become one. God's plan, the culture that God set up, was one man and one woman. But the culture that we see in Abraham's time was that men were taking more than one wife. They had several wives and concubines. And it didn't seem so bad. Everybody else was doing it. And so Abraham, with Sarah's suggestion, you know, what was so bad? You know, God hadn't given them a child yet anyway, so they could have their child this way. And so they were affected by the culture that they lived in. Did that change God's counsel? No. Did it change the results? Because Abraham and Sarah gave in to their culture and their mistrust of God, we have to live with the results. Who are Ishmael's descendants? The Arabs. We live with the consequences of Abraham and Sarah's giving in to the culture of their time. And the Bible told Hagar that he would bless Ishmael and that he would be a father of nations, but that Ishmael would be a donkey of a man with every man's hand against him and his hand against every man. God knew what was going to happen. And we have it today. We have to live with it because Abraham and Sarah distrusted God and followed the culture of their time rather than following the counsel of God. There's another story, Genesis chapter 9. Back up just a little bit. Genesis chapter 9. And we want verse 20. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. When he had drunk some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and told his brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders. Then they walked in backward and covered their father's nakedness. Their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves, will he be to his brothers." Did God give Adam and Eve wine to drink? There was no fermentation in the Garden of Eden. They had the grapes to eat. There was no wine. The fermentation is a symbol of sin. Have you ever watched someone that's drunk? My father's sister's family were not Adventists. They were Christians. And we went to the wedding of my cousin. First of all, the pastor had celebrated a little bit too much ahead of time. My cousin Roy was getting married, and his brother Tim was his best man. And the pastor said, "We're here to witness the marriage of Tim and Roy." I was only about 12, and that hit me the funniest thing. And I thought I was never going to quit laughing. at the reception, there was a table with all the champagne that anybody wanted to drink, but that wasn't good enough. They had two butlers going around keeping everybody's glass full. And my cousin got drunk. And during the reception, he and his ex-girlfriend got together and just started giving each other a big one. Big kiss, French kiss that it was. And his wife, his new wife, was very hurt and insulted and angry. When I was about, when I was in the academy, we went on a field trip down to San Francisco to the newspapers. It was an English field trip. And the newspaper presses were down in a rough part of San Francisco. And the bus found a place to stop. It was about a block from the newspaper office. And we had to walk around. And here were these alcoholics sleeping in the little alcove entrances of these buildings, these little storefronts. And there was one guy that was all hunched up between the telephone booth and the building, just a little narrow space, drunk. And I looked at that and I thought, if there's any chance that that would do that to me, I'm not going to drink. God never gave us alcohol. That's an invention of the devil. But Noah was affected by the culture that he saw in his world before the flood. And he made wine and drank. Abraham and Jacob were affected. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Why? Why did he call him away from his family and from his home? Because of the culture. The worship of idols was coming in even to his own family. And by the time Jacob went back to get a wife, Laban had the family gods in the house, the household gods. And when Jacob took his family away, Rachel stole her father's family gods and took them with her. It was a part of their culture. In every culture, there is good and there is bad. Because God is at work, but Satan is the god of this world. And he has influenced every culture with things that will destroy us. With music, you know, Satan was the musician of heaven, the choir leader, what I understand. And in Ezekiel, it talks about the pipes. We have one pipe, right, for music. It talks about pipes, plural. I don't know whether he could sing more than one part harmony at a time. I don't know. It would be interesting to know. But as the chief musician, do you think he just left that out of his assault on humanity? Have you ever watched, when I watch the news, these commercials come on, called Dancing with the Stars? What do they dress like and what do they act like? Is that the culture of heaven? It's the culture of hell. What do we fill our minds with? when we watch that kind of stuff. And the language. When I was a boy, things that children say today, you didn't say in public. And of course, we believe in the health message. In every culture, there's food that will destroy us. We have a heaven to win and a hell to shun. Which culture do you watch? Do you enjoy? Which culture is it that you enjoy watching, that you're entertained by? Because we are assimilated into the culture that we watch. And the only way to change that is to be converted and turn from the culture of the devil, the culture of the world. And it's our choice. Having said what I did about Ishmael and the Arabs, there is some reason that they have for being offended by the American culture. Because it is the culture of the devil. Now, there are good things in the American culture, and there's been less and less of it as the devil's culture takes over more predominantly. Where's your citizenship? Which culture do you admire? Which culture do you fill your mind with? Which culture are you being assimilated into? The culture of hell, culture of the devil, or the culture of heaven, the culture of Jesus? Our closing song should be the theme of our life. Number 444, I am a pilgrim. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim.
Difficult times. Our Heavenly Father loves us, and He will continue to draw us back to Him. And as long as we don't resist that, we will be saved. Yes. Amen.